So I'm going to title this Predators. There's predators out there. And because I wasn't raised around people who were saved, who had no idea what, all I was raised around was drinking, drugging, people. I wasn't doing it, but they were doing it. I don't know why God protected me. Now, I did drink in college, and we went to the topless bar, and we did all that crazy stuff in college. But I had to work my whole time. The only reason I really went to college, I was looking for the truth. I was looking for the truth. Even when I graduated college, I started reading all those esoteric books and Pythagoras, or whatever these gurus back in the Greek time. Anyway, so I was looking for the truth pretty much my whole life, and I was raised around people who didn't want the truth. Although I look back now, and all it was people just living for fun, living for pleasure, living for now. In other words, not thinking about eternity, but just meet their basic needs, and that was it. They didn't really, there was no investing, there was nothing about helping other people. It was just about eating and drinking and partying, you know. I don't even think it was about getting married. It was, you know, the Bible talks about they're marrying and giving in marriage until the judgment comes. But they weren't even thinking about marriage. That's what's strange about this thing. It was just TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and let's party like it's 1999. You know, that's all they thought about. Everybody around me is like, yeah, some people went to church, but they really just went to church just because it was their duty. It wasn't because they wanted to learn any truth, you know. And most of the time they were going to church to look for somebody to date, you know. It wasn't about knowing the truth. It was finding somebody to date. And the predators are in the churches. And not only the predators in the churches, in the choir, and on the church pew, but even the pastors are predators. Now, there's different kinds of predators. These are soul predators. I didn't have the money or the means to go to a seminary. I didn't even know. It's a good thing, because most people just go to seminary just to get a degree. They're not really looking for the truth. They're going to just mimic and repeat what somebody else told them, but it has to become a part of you. When you eat and drink the truth, it has to actually become a part of you. But most people, pastors, people, they don't really want the truth. They want their truth. And everything I read in the Bible, everything I read is, it's not your truth, it's God's truth. And you have to conform your mind to His mind. You have to conform your will to His will. You have to conform your stinking thinking to His proper thinking. And so everybody wants to be right in their own understanding. But the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. Everybody messes up, don't get me wrong. But is the heart motive to know what God's truth is, to know what God is saying, to know what is reality? All these people that are trying to upset you on the media and the news about all these changing genders and all that, they're just messing with you. Nobody can be that stupid. Nobody can be that stupid. Could they? They have to be just messing with you, just try to upset you, you know. They just have to be just have to be that stupid. I mean, if they believe all this junk that they're putting across right now, these people have to be just totally ignorant. I mean, they have to be imbeciles. Totally ridiculous imbeciles. I can't imagine a person not having logic and a person not knowing the truth, you know. even before you get saved, you know, deep down, you know what's right and wrong. Is it built into you as a human? You know you shouldn't kill anybody. You know you shouldn't steal. You know you shouldn't kill a baby. You know you shouldn't. Do the basics, the Ten Commandments, you know you shouldn't do them. You shouldn't. You know, there's people out there. I took picked some people up on an Uber ride yesterday and took them to the bar, and I said something about, we were just talking about deeper things. I said, you know, have y'all heard of Cain and Abel, right? No, we don't know what Cain and Abel is. They ain't never heard of Cain and Abel. And these are people who'd graduated college. I was like, oh. No wonder. The reason we have such a younger generation of ignorant people is because they don't crack open the Bible. The entrance of thy word brings wisdom. The entrance of thy word, the Psalm 119, thy word, thy statutes, thy commandments, thy precepts, thy laws, the words from God brings light. The word of God into your heart, your mind, your soul brings light. And these people have no light. They're just going by their own understanding. And no wonder they keep bumping into walls. Yeah, they might have their parents who went before them and had a stable life, and they're just following in the footsteps of the parents. So it looks kind of stable, but internally, inside, they're not stable. I promise you, if you talk to them, if they got real with you, their inner person is totally unstable. Fear, doubt, worry, all kinds of stuff going on. This is in Psalm 119, I think. The entrance of thy word bringeth light. The prophets of old, you know, in this dispensation, who are the prophets in this dispensation? The saints, the born-again saints, because you have the truth. He told, so the church is sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? So you have the Holy Spirit. Back in the Old Testament, they were just, the Holy Spirit would come on them and they would speak, and, you know, they weren't sealed like the church is sealed. They were saved, don't get me wrong, but the church is sealed until the day of redemption. And so now, just like the Old Testament says, you're like little gods to the world because you have the word of God. So now the saints are like little gods to the world because you not only do you have the word of God and you can rightly divide it, but you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and God is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. So you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You have God in you, and you're hid in God. So you are the prophets of today. But it's higher than the prophets because you know all things in Christ. You have the whole Bible. You know, a lot of that stuff was written in like 1 Corinthians 13 was written before the whole Bible was complete. Think about it. We see through a glass dimly. The Bible wasn't complete yet. The books were compiled together and all the books came together and gave you a full comprehension of the whole plan, Revelation to Genesis. The book of Daniel and Revelation go together. The book of Galatians and Romans 6, 7, and 8 go together. Talk about legalism. Ephesians and Colossians go together. The whole Bible fits together like a puzzle piece, you know. And it's a holographic truth that is not only written in 5D, was written in heaven, his words forever settled in heaven. It's in 5D before it was in the 3D. Because the men of God moved by God, it was already written before they spoke it. You have no new thought. It was already written. And so since you got the Holy Spirit, you can rightly divide the word of truth. You can look out in front of you and you can see the machine man that they're trying to promote. You can see the AI beast in Revelation. You know that there's always an Antichrist on the scene. Actually, I hate to tell you this, but Elon Musk is a type and shadow of the Antichrist. Look at everything that he's doing. Space wars to fight against God. The AI machine, the beast to tie to your brain, the who can make war with the beast. All the data points in Revelation and Daniel, the Old Testament, the New Testament, Genesis, the flesh mind, the spirit mind, and all the verses that say the kings of the earth fight against the Most High, and God just sits in heaven and laughs at them. And all the technology, all the man-made technology, like I said in one of my audios, man can only make dead stuff. Your car is dead. The AI machine's dead. The mechanical stuff is dead. It has no soul. So God makes a living soul, but man makes a dead machine. And you see it in the Doctor Who series. You see that the machine man, you see the viruses, the Daleks. They were just a virus in a machine. You see them all tied to the hive, all the machine men in all the Doctor Who series. They were all a hive. The Daleks or the Daleks, they were all a hive. And notice the head of the Daleks in Doctor Who, the guy's name was Davos, the mastermind of evil. And what do we see in the earth? They meet at Davos, right? And so all these movies are revealing who are the enemy. The Dr. Fake, the Dr. Fauci, the Bill Gates, the Davos people, the reveals the battle that's going on. They're trying their best to bring everybody into a hive mind. The AI flesh mind, hive, Borg, the third eye, but is through a computer and is through a demon spirit. And they want to tie, the demons want to get back to God, but the only way they're going to get back to God is tie every human being into the hive and the ones that are demon possessed. And they're all getting the prophecy. See, the demons are trying to see what God is doing through the human. And the reason the devil and the demons want to know what God is doing so that he can counteract and lie to the people before the people get the truth. Remember Daniel? Daniel prayed and it took about 2 or 3 weeks for this prayer to come through because the demon, the dark side, was resisting that angel for giving that message. You, as a born again, you get the message instantly if God gives it to you instantly because you got the Holy Spirit. But Daniel, he had to pray. If you're in constant state of prayer, you're in tune. You're in synchronicity with the mind of Christ. You already know he's leading and guiding you every moment of every day. If you're aware, if you're awake, if you're looking up instead of looking, if you're looking vertical instead of horizontal. See, that's what the devil is doing. The drama is to keep you from hearing from God. And you might think I'm crazy, but I promise you, if you cut the music off and you cut the TV off and you just sit down for 21 days and just sit there and say, Lord, I'm waiting for you to speak to me. Do it. Wouldn't you? Hearing from God is so much more important than hearing from anything man has to say. If you sit in a corner for 21 days and say, Lord, I'm just going to sit here until I hear from you. But when he speaks to you, he's going to convict you. He's going to make you change. He's going to change your direction. He's going to change your perspective, your view. You're going to have to be transformed into a new creature. And if you resist, you think he's going to keep speaking? God scourges every son he receives. So if you're really wanting to know God and hear from God and the Holy Spirit teaching you, you're going to have to change because God is holy. He's set apart. He's high above. He's way above the human. Beyond your even imagination. Now you can have the mind of Christ for what's going on down here and the program and the plan of God. But God has probably multiple universes and all. But his main objective, I mean, if Jesus went to the cross for the mankind, his main focus is on the elect Jews, the elect saints, the elect angels. His focus is on the elect. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, but not all men are going to be saved. And he had to do that. He had to give man a free will, because if he didn't, he would just be like Davos, wanting to make robots. But God don't want you to follow him under obligation. He wants you to do it out of love. You follow God. You love God because he first loved you. God doesn't want you to be a robot and follow him because you have to. He wants you to do it by choice. The rich young ruler. I'm not a sinner. I did everything right. Jesus came to win sinners. So that rich young ruler couldn't be saved because he didn't think he was a sinner. And he walked away. He walked away. Anyway, back to what I was saying. You can't even talk to these people anymore because they don't want the truth. They're just lovers of pleasure, pleasers of men, haters of God, and not lovers of God. They're not pleasers of God. I mean, none of us please. Jesus is the only one that pleases God. But what are the works of God? To believe on his son. So when you just walk by faith, trusting Jesus, letting him, his spirit, his word, his universe transform you. Because every day that you live, you have to admit this. You have to admit what I'm getting ready to say. Your job, your church, your family, your wife, your kids, your situation, those things have transformed. Other people coming at you face to face have transformed you and changed you. Just like the Word of God changes you, just like the Holy Spirit changes you, just getting up out of the bed every day, walking out the front door, you have had to change because you got a function down here. And there's some people out there that had to really change. There's a lot of people got saved. They used to be fighters and drinkers and brawlers and brute beasts, and they got saved and God changed them. And they were, there's people out there, whether it's a Jezebel, whether it's a brute beast, whether it's a rebellious thief, criminal, God will change them. There's a lot of criminals that got saved. Think about all the people who wrote the Bible. Moses was a murderer. He changed. Paul was persecuted. Saul, why do you persecute me? He was a murderer. He got saved. David was a murderer. He got saved. All the people who wrote the Bible were murderers. Can you hear me? Not all of them, but most of them. They were murderers and they got saved and God changed them. Think about that. Saul changed his name to Paul. He was persecuting the church. Moses killed a man for messing with the Jewish people. It wasn't self-defense, but it was defense on the people. But, the law says you give equal and opposite force. If somebody comes at you with a knife, you can defend yourself with a knife. Somebody comes at you with a gun, you can defend yourself with a gun. Somebody comes at you with a fist, you can defend yourself, if they're bigger than you, with a stick, you know. My point is, he was wrong. And what he learned in those 40 years in the wilderness, what he learned, that he was trying to do it in his own strength instead of trusting God. He was trying to do it in the power, the energy of the flesh. And that's what we all have to realize. We all have to come to the fact that the energy of the flesh is weak. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own power. I got this car going back and forth, turning around. You can't do it in your own strength or your own power. I don't know what. Let me see what they're doing. I came out here to record a message, and I'm seeing this traffic. scope out my domicile, scoping out the crib. The whole purpose of this whole experience down here is God's just letting mankind, you, me, the unsaved, the kings of the earth, God is letting mankind prove that he can't do it. That's why Jesus is going to rule for 1,000 years to bring peace. Man, the Freemasons, the Jesuits, Davos, they can try to dumb you down, drug you down. They still can't rule man. Look at France, all the fighting and all the stuff going on in France. God is letting mankind and womankind, God is letting man and woman come to the realization, even in their personal life, their church, their job, that they can't do it in their own power. You're dependent on God moment by moment, day by day. And so not only is it true in your daily life, but it's true in the dispensations of time that man is trying to figure this thing out, and he's even trying to create an AI God. Maybe the AI machine can rule man. The United States experiment, can man rule himself? It failed. So now they want to bring an AI because man cannot rule himself. So we need an AI to rule us. And if you think about all the people in history, Israel, instead of the judges, we want a king like the other nations. We want a king. That wasn't God's will at first, but he says, okay, if you want a king, I'll give you a king. And they had trouble. The judges ruled the land. But this whole American experiment was to see if man could rule himself. And the whole thing about this reality is, can man rule himself? No, he needs God. In your personal life, in your financial, everything, in your mind, in your spirit, your soul, even in your words. Man doesn't even know how to rule his own words. He don't even know how to rule his own tongue. The tongue is a small member, but it controls the ship. Man can't even rule his tongue. How can he rule his life and his nation and his city? If you can rule your tongue and what comes out of your mouth, you got something. But even David said, he asked God to help him to keep the meditations of his heart, of his mind, on the right thing. Because he had to realize, with Bathsheba and everything he went through, he had to realize that he had to look in the mirror. And he didn't want to look in the mirror. I know people in the real world, you show them the mirror and they break the mirror. I'm serious. David had to look in the mirror. And what did it take? It took a prophet. Nathan said, "You're the man, David. You're the man." And every time I talk about this, something like this online, people get mad. Because they can't admit they're sinners. They can't admit they're the problem. If what's her name, the top singer in the world, I guess, probably the richest one, what's her name? Anyway, she just had this song come out, what, a couple months ago or something? She said, it's me, I'm the problem, it's me. That's her song. She woke up. She's more awake than most people. She wrote the lyrics to that song. She looked in the mirror and said, it's me. Even at her funeral, the skit, the video was somebody tried to kill her, right? To take her money. She realized it was her. She put the temptation out there with people who couldn't handle it. A lot of people, they can't handle the money. That's why God hadn't given it to them. You know, notice the people that win the lottery, they're not able to handle it. They lose it and as soon as they get it. Instead of investing it, instead of helping other people, it's all about just greed. They don't know how to function. God has to put you through the ringer. the cleansing process to teach you how to manage your life, your money, your words, your thoughts, everything. So growing up, I was looking for the truth. And I looked around me and nobody else around me at that, this was before the internet. Nobody around me was looking for the truth. Even at church. All I saw was predators. I saw Jezebels. I saw Delilahs. I saw con artists. I saw people attacking your soul. I was under attack by the Pentecostals to take me down their doctrinal path. I was under attack by the Methodists to take me down. I was under attack by the Jehovah's Witnesses, the cults and the isms and the church denomination. You got to wash feet. You got to handle a snake. You got to think about being in the South 20 years ago. They wanted to wash feet. They wanted to handle snakes. They wanted to, they thought it's symbolic. It's symbolic of taking up your cross. But they actually said, well, how do you get saved? If you say, how do you think you get saved? They say, you got to be baptized. Wrong. Baptism comes after salvation. And so you had all these false doctrines coming at you because, you were looking for the truth and you were looking over here. And all these men, these preachers, all these teachers and all these gurus and all these women Jezebels. And so the women, the men would take you down a rabbit hole trying to teach you truth to believe some kind of false doctrine. The women would try to take you down a rabbit hole to worship Mother Earth or worship the tree or the cat or whatever creation and feelings. The women want you to go by feelings. The men will try to get you into false doctrine and to get you out there partying and drinking and bar hopping and all that. So you had all the different extremes. And then when the internet comes up, you go online, you got people trying to teach you, try to pull you into gematria, try to pull you into esoteric, trying to pull you into new age, trying to pull you into witchcraft, sorcery, trying to pull you into all kinds, not to mention the narcissists out there. So everybody's trying to pull you into a truth that's not lining up with the scripture because they don't know the scripture. They'll quote a verse out of context. You'll talk to somebody and they try to teach you some false teaching, right? And you'll say, well, where do you get that from? This verse here. I said, but did you read the context? Did you read the whole chapter? I don't need to read the whole chapter. This is what the verse says. But you got to put it in context. Because if you take it out of context, it don't make sense. And all these people, especially when you're younger and they're older than you and they act like they got it together and they know what's going on, you're sitting there listening to them because you want to learn, you want to hear from everybody. But when you give a contradictory and you show, hey, that's not what the Bible says, they get mad. Because they don't want to change. There's people out there online that decode, right? Just like me. And they decode and they go down this rabbit hole and they face a contradiction. Instead of backing up and going back where they started and going down another path that doesn't have a contradiction, they stay in the contradiction because they have made up their mind that this is what it means. And you don't know how many times when I was decoding, I went down a path and I said, well, this contradicts what the Bible says, so let me back up and go this way. Does this line up with Bible? Yes. Let me keep going down this path. Okay, so I'm decoding this, but I got to back up. I did that like 100 times when I was decoding this reality, this 3D reality. I wasn't stuck on my own understanding. When my decode didn't line up with the scripture, I backed up until it lined up with the scripture. And it took me a long time, every day for 7 years. Every day. Every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every day. For 7 years. Because I wanted to, because when God revealed, I said, Lord, what's going on? Because it was just too much with the internet, you know. You got the Mithra cults, you got the satanic cults, you got the Isisian code guy, and none of these people go back to the scripture. They don't use the Bible as their litmus test. Praise God that he allowed me to know the scripture before I started decoding, because if I would have not known my Bible, I would have been just like them. And about right after I got married, I was starting to see it. You know, they said everything leads back to Rome. And I was thinking, well, it can't be Rome, because Rome was just a bunch of cults. And then I had drama, relationship drama for 5-6 years or whatever. And it just kind of sidetracked me. And then I finally got back on track to see that there was something else that wasn't making sense. So there was something else out there. And it all the puzzle pieces finally came together, and everything just fits like a hand in a glove, and it's all making sense that all these people who wanted to pretend like they want the truth, they don't really want the truth, they want their truth. They want reality to be like they want it instead of like God wants it. And everything in front of you points back to tea time. You might say, what did you just say? Tea time. T-E-A. Tea time. Just Google tea time and look at the image. You got two people drinking tea face to face at a table. Communicating, communion, face to face. And what does that represent? It represents Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? So what does that represent? It represents 33. What does that represent? Represents what Jesus did on the cross. And what does that represent? There's a rift between God and man, and the only way that you can have tea time and fellowship back with God is through Jesus, the middleman, the God man. And so everything in front of you is tea time, communion with God, being drawn back to God through Jesus. I'm drinking some water. I had to put the bottle up against my, to drink the water, I had to put the bottle right there against my lips and drink it. Face-to-face, tea time. If you're going to go play golf, you have to actually hit the ball, touch it, face-to-face. If you're going to play pool, you have to take your cue and hit the cue ball, face-to-face. If you're talking to somebody, you have to look at them face-to-face. Tea time. If you're playing a game of chess, you have to grab the piece, and you're playing against somebody. Against. Again, S-T. Against, S-T, everything is against, S-T, communion at the cross. Everything in front of you is communion. When you look at something, it has to hit your eye gate. When you touch something, you have to touch it against. So when you're looking at something, it's against your eye gate. When you hear something, it's against your ear. Again, S-T, against, face-to-face. When a man and woman want to have a baby, they have to come against each other, face-to-face. They have to touch. And that's why there's a business out there called T-E, connectivity, because T-E is the cross. In the Spirit, and that's how you connect back with God. What happened at the cross? By His Spirit. And so you have a connection with God by His Spirit, which is Christ in you, the God-man, the middleman. There's one mediator between God and man, Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross at 33, Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? There has to be tea time. When you sit down to eat, you have to touch the food or this fork, and it touches your mouth. It has to digest, has to become a part of you. And so when you're looking out, you're touching. When you behold something, you're holding it. when you speak something, it comes back. It echoes back. So what is this whole place? 33, Amos 3:3, man becoming or moving into an agreement with God. 33 is man moving into an agreement with God. And God says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so you have to admit you're a sinner. Because if every man is a liar, that means they've sinned. Because lying is a sin. And you got to agree with God. And you have to go through Jesus to get back into communion with God through Jesus, because he went to the cross at 33. That's why it's Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? So there's your tea time. T-E-A. Because T-E sounds like T-E-A. It's the same phonics. So when you sit down and have tea with somebody, or a Coke, or a water, or a, even if you have a beer, you're having tea time. Let's just say two men sit down and have a beer together. It's tea time. They're fellowshipping. They're talking. It points back to Jesus. You're in communion with God through Jesus. Jesus is the middle there. So when you type in tea time and you see these two people sitting at a table and there's a table in the middle, they've got their cup, their drink on the table. He says, drink of my blood, eat of my flesh. And so they take the communion and drink the wine, and they eat the bread of life. It signifies eating and drinking of Christ. And every moment of every day you're doing that. Whether you know it or not, everything that you're doing, you're eating and drinking of Christ, that eternal life. Even if you're not saved, you're doing it. Because you can't, in him, we exist. In him, we live and breathe and have our being. By him, all things consist. There's no other way to even function and take a breath without Jesus. You can't even breathe. And when you breathe in Yahweh. Every time you take a breath, it sounds like Yahweh. You can't even breathe without God. And God made all things through Jesus. So there's your tea time. There's your communion. There's your 33. There's your fish. Fishers of men. There's the whole story right there. I gave you the whole story. But you're going to have to quit thinking your own thoughts and be willing to think God's thoughts, because our thoughts are a hill of beans until they line up with God's thoughts. That is the deal, people. And quit worrying about having tea time with the goats and with the unsaved. If you really want to have some fellowship, have fellowship around truth. Don't have fellowship around lies, because there's no fellowship around lies. You can only have true fellowship in truth. If a man and a woman are together and it's based on lies, there's nothing. That's why if I catch a woman lying, I'm walking away. I don't look back. I've done that my whole life. You think you find one that's going to be good and dependable and loyal, and she's in to catch her doing her stupid stuff, lying. You just say, all right. Breaks my heart. It's sad, but I got to go. I'm not putting up with this. I ain't going to live that way. I don't want an enemy. The Bible says man's enemy is in his own house. If I got an enemy in my own house, somebody's got to go, and it ain't me. Well, that's mean. No, you're lying. Your lying is mean. Your cheating is mean. Your games are mean. Your drama's mean. Your narcissism, that's mean. Me standing my ground and setting up boundaries, that's not mean. The only reason you think it's mean because somebody's holding you accountable, and you don't want to be held accountable because you hate God and you hate the truth. Accountability will save your life. But most people don't care about accountability because they want to go by their own understanding. And they don't want true tea time, face-to-face communication. They just want their own way. And it's all about me. Me, 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 me. But when that famous singer woke up, she said, let me write this song. It's me. I'm the problem, it's me. That's when you wake up and you realize, hey, when you wake up and say you were the problem, when you realize, hey, I was the problem in the marriage, I was the problem, I was lying, I was running the streets, I was doing this. When you start to wake up and say, hey, it was me, then all the problems you can't blame on anybody else. You have to look at yourself. But most people, when you hold up the mirror, they break the mirror into shattered into pieces because they don't want to look and admit that their thinking doesn't line up with the truth. If you can transform your thinking into the mind of Christ through His Word, through His Spirit, through His daily rebuking you through authority or whatever, if you can look in the mirror and start to change your thinking to line up with Him, then you can have tea time with God. You can have communion with God and you can hear from God. But if you're fighting against God, do you think He's going to talk to you? You think you're going to hear from God if you're fighting against Him? Only thing you can hear from God is God saying, hey, you're a backslidden heifer. You better get right. Otherwise, you can't hear anything else. You're a sinner. Your sin stinks to the high heaven. You better get saved. You better transform your thinking because it's going to get worse. Every day is going to get worse. All the pressure and all the karma, the universe, you reap what you sow, whatever you want to call it. It's getting worse. If you don't change your mind, it's going to get worse. Yeah, but I'm going to manifest this. If your heart ain't right, it ain't going to last. You might manifest it. Where was I at? I know where I was at. I was in Raleigh. Somewhere in Raleigh. Where was it? Oh, it was Burlington. And somebody was on city council. This guy was rich. His wife had a good job. He had a good job. He was on city council. They were rich. But he was I picked him up at Hooters, and he had a stop at ABC store. And he was drunk at Hooters. He was getting some more drink. I mean, this man was a millionaire, and he's city council. And check this out. And so we were driving, and this lady pulled out in front of me. He started cursing. I'm the driver. I had it under control. And he started cursing at that lady. Hey, I'm sorry. He's not happy. He's got everything. A mansion house. City council. Wife's got a good job. His kids are grown. He's got a good job. But he's sitting there drinking, his guts hanging out over his belt. And he's just like drinking himself to death. And he's mad at somebody. He's city council, supposed to be caring about the people. And he's sitting there cursing at this woman who ran past the stoplight. What I'm saying is, you think you're going to manifest it, but your heart ain't right, you're going to be miserable. That happened. When was that? Last week, Wednesday or Thursday last week. Picked him up at Hooters. He was struggling to get in the car. First stop was the ABC store. He was mad at them. That lady pulled out. He was not happy. But he was talking about how much money his wife made and he made and all the stuff they did. And I'm on city council. He says she wants me to always build her up and talk good about her. So I'm going to say some good stuff about her and all that. And it's like two narcissistic people who are unhappy, who are forcing each other to compliment each other. You talk about stupid. Stupid people got all the money and all the opportunity in the world, but they're still ignorant spiritually and they can't even see their own heart. The man's like 60 and he's over at Hooters. Going to the ABC store. I don't even want to say anything else, because if I kept talking about it, the more I would, if I kept thinking about it, I was just like, it's like pathetic, pitiful. On the city council to help the community, then cursing its people and can't even walk out the door at a Hooters. Can't even get in the car. I mean, these people are crazy. They got their focus on what's temporal instead of what's eternal. Their focus is on the natural realm and not the spiritual realm. And if their focus is on the natural realm, not the spiritual realm, they can never look at themselves in the mirror and they can never say, it's me. It's me, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. If you can't do that on a daily basis in every situation, because stuff is going to come at you. People, crazy stuff's going to happen. You don't have to respond. When you do respond in the wrong way, be introspective. Say, why did I do that? Make a change. Start looking for the truth. And we're talking about God's truth, not our truth, because our truth is not truth until we line up with His truth. That's wrong. That's what's wrong with our society. That's wrong with almost every society. Everybody I've ever talked to who involves doctrine, they just want to go by their own understanding. And they end up destroying themselves and their marriage and their job and their health and everything. You can see it at a family reunion. Everybody's talking about different, they're not in communion. Everybody's on a different page. It's like, why would I show up here when there's no communion? Everybody's talking about something. Everybody has their own opinion about what's truth. Well, what's the Bible say? It don't matter what I think. What's the Bible say? Yeah, but then they'll say, well, what's your interpretation? Why is your interpretation? It's not my interpretation. The Bible interprets itself. Line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible will interpret itself. So does reality.